The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday. No, it's not. It's Wednesday. It feels like Friday, though, which is how we're treating it since there's no shows tomorrow and no shows on Friday. We're treating it as a free-for-all Friday, Double D Wednesday, kind of a, a mixture of all in between. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on this actual Wednesday, July 2nd of 2025, where this is the last show of the week here on ESPN 106.7. In terms of all of our local shows, the Max Roundtable, On the Line, and The Drive, the final day of the week before the 4th of July holiday. So we're looking forward to that. And looking forward to an extended weekend and then getting into the next week as well. Hope you're staying cool out there in this Auburn Opelika summer. It is brutally hot outside, but my goodness, do we have a lot of things to talk about on the show today. We'll go through the rundown, tell you all about it coming up in just a little bit. But my man Christian Griffin is in the studio with me. How are you, sir? Happy Wednesday, not Happy, Friday.
I know, you got me a little bit excited thinking that it was the true weekend, but we're not quite there, but almost there.
It has felt like Friday to me all day.
It has.
All day.
It's been kind of cool. And what's not cool is outside. But that being said, I'm sure that Auburn, the rainforest, but give it about 18 minutes and some rain will pop up for 10 or 15 minutes just to make it even more miserable for everybody out there working on the roads as we were driving to work here today. But no, a whole lot, as you mentioned, to talk about. We're talking a lot of Auburn football in our number one, as recruiting just continues to go the way that all Auburn fans are hoping and expecting this offseason to go. Auburn picks up another big-time commitment, right? I mean, that's the news that everybody wants to hear. Auburn did actually technically pick up a big-time commitment, but from the transfer portal, we'll talk about that. But a swing and a miss on essentially two wide receivers now in the high school recruiting class. Going to talk a little bit about some of these DBs, the transfer room, and what it's going to look like, kind of the defense as a whole, and kind of go back to our conversation that we had yesterday about some of the expectations for the classes or for the position groups on this defensive side of the football. Also, a couple quotes from Pete Nakos referring to fake cash being thrown around in the world of college football. No way that's true, right? I mean, there's just absolutely no way. And changing around the rundown just a little bit in our number one, because right before going on air, you feel like there's more college football news on the transfer portal side of things. And it's a whole thing along the designated student athletes who were implemented or who were wronged by the house settlement. Now we'll have a transfer portal window. And so no way that things could get worse for the Auburn Tigers, right? And well, we were hoping that wouldn't be the case early on here this afternoon, but with the news of Auburn missing out on the five-star wide receiver from Benjamin Russell as he commits to the other team in the state.
Yep, Sedarian Morgan, one that we were keeping our eyes on today, whose commitment was going live at about 1 o'clock, but as some reporters like to do, ruined that and tweeted it out about 20 minutes before his actual commitment. So nicely done on that. Way to get your clicks and your engagement up on your social media accounts. But Sedarian Morgan, yes, the Benjamin Russell standout five-star receiver, one that is considered to be the best receiver in the state, one of the best receivers in all of college football, gets comparisons to the Cam Coleman, or in high school football rather, gets comparisons to the Ryan Williams, Cam Colemans of the world in that class that we saw there. This is one that we have been keeping up with, the one that Auburn has been in on since the beginning, and they were in on it all the way till the end. He just decided to pick Alabama over Auburn, Georgia, and others. We want to get your thoughts on all of this. Give us a call. Phone lines are open for all of our number 1-334-321-1390. The call-in number one more time, 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, which is always open at 334-784. 1067. Are you disappointed? Are you surprised? Are you shocked? Are you mad? Are you just like, eh? I mean, how do you feel initially with Sadarian Morgan, the five-star wide receiver from right up the road, and Benjamin Russell going to Alabama instead of Auburn?
You feel like it's just another day at the office. You feel like you just go on social media and find something else that has gone wrong in this offseason for the Auburn Tigers. And it hurts a lot in the beginning, not saying that this hurts any less than anybody else or any more than anybody else, but you feel like you've almost become numb to the comedy of what we've talked about, of this player chooses to commit to this school. He chooses that school over blah, 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 and Auburn.
Yep.
And Auburn was right in the conversation with all of these kids, and in the world that you live in right now, you take it, it gives and it takes, the word committed, right? You feel like that's the hope that you cling on to. We heard Christian Clemente, who came in here last week, or was it 2 weeks ago?
A couple of weeks ago,
that was talking about how he predicted this to be Alabama for CeeDee Morgan, but that this is going to go all the way up until signing day. Georgia obviously heavily entered the conversation. Florida entered the conversation heavily as well. And so this is going to be a four or five team battle all the way up until signing day. It just feels like this one hurts a little bit more. It was the one thing you were clinging on to for the standpoint of hope, because he was crystal balled to Auburn, you feel like, 5 or 6 months ago. As soon as he made his little 7-on-7s at Jordan-Hare, or at the practice facilities, and was doing so much with Auburn, and then the quotes of him, he's come here a million times, everybody knows him, his family loves it, they all love his family. So much of that carries a little bit more weight when it's somebody that you feel like you have a really, really good shot of getting on your commitment board, but instead, Auburn not only doesn't land CeeDee Morgan, another guy chooses to make the change as well.
I mean, he's basically a top 10 player no matter where you look across any recruiting rankings across high school football, considered a top one or two receiver in the country, the best player in the state of Alabama, 6'4", 210 pounds. What hurts about this is what I said a moment ago. This kid's a Benjamin Russell, man. He's 45 minutes up the road. He's in Alexander City. Hop on 280 and just start driving. I'll be driving through there later today. It's right there. You could throw a rock if you have a strong enough arm, and you could hit the backside of his high school. But yet, here comes Kalen DeBoer. Here comes Alabama, right in Auburn's backyard yet again, and they pick up another big-time recruit, and they get a verbal commit. But I do agree, and I do think that this will be a recruitment that is still ongoing because of this idea that we continue to talk about and beat to absolute death, that verbal commitments don't mean what they used to be. I don't think they're worthless, but they're not carved in stone either. And with Auburn being in his backyard, the fact that he will be playing on Friday nights and Auburn plays on Saturdays, you feel really good about the opportunity to get him back on campus, to get him on, get him here on a game day in terms of letting him see what Auburn can be. Did we lost another one, didn't we?
Not a decommit from Auburn, but four-star defensive lineman Ernest Rankings. Rankins just committed to Florida State, and he's from Ellenwood, Georgia, and chose, it's funny that we talk about this, but chose the Seminoles over Auburn and Ohio State. So
there you go, because that's where all good recruits go right now, is Florida State. That's especially on defense, of all places.
Right now, you almost feel like if you're a commit right now, or you're about to commit, just throw the name Auburn in there for comedy purposes of, man, Auburn was in there, just couldn't
they were right there. Yeah, just Couldn't quite seal a deal for old Hugh down there in Auburn. But that's what makes this one about Sadarius Morgan hurt the most for me. Right now, anyway. I still think Auburn will try. I think Auburn has every opportunity to make this possible. And yes, it gets back to the root conversation that we continue to have, which just win games and you have a really good chance to do so. But man, this feels like old times, does it not? This feels like the old school Auburn and Alabama recruiting battles where Nick Saban was running the show in Tuscaloosa, which we know he still kind of is. We know he's been around. They were scared. They called him in, and he has definitely helped them pick up their recruiting rankings and their recruiting momentum. Here's what Alabama has done in the last 2 weeks. Are you ready for this? In the last 11 days, Alabama has picked up 10 verbal commitments in the class of 2026. They currently have 4 5-stars committed in the class of 2026. That is double the amount of any other team in the country. And they're the only school in the entire country with more than 2 5-stars. And it's all happened within the last 2 weeks. Not even 2 weeks. Week and a half. Alabama has picked up 10 verbal commits with 4 5-stars now in the class of 2026.
Alabama and Auburn were in the same kind of handful of teams about halfway through June or the second week of June. We were even making the jokes of, yeah, Auburn hasn't done anything, but thankfully there's another logo that's relatively familiar that's right there with us.
Yeah, we jinxed that.
Feel like it's okay. Alabama has now jumped over 70 spots since then. All the way to number 6.
Less than 2 weeks, man.
17 commits, 3/4 of them 5-stars based off of where you look. You feel like it could be even more with that. With the 8 4-stars, nobody else has more than 1 or 2 5-stars, and Alabama has almost doubled everybody else now inside the top 10 for the 5-star commits.
But where I was going with all of that is it feels like old times when Nick Saban was running Alabama, Auburn was cycling through coaches, or even if it was Gus Malzahn who had his feet planted here. This is really starting to feel like it used to, where Nick Saban and Alabama, or we'll just say where Alabama gets whoever they want in this state. Number one player, he's going to Bama. He's going to Tuscaloosa. There's nothing you can do about it, Auburn. Sorry about it. This feels like old times where no matter where they are, who they play for, no matter if Auburn's interested, Georgia's interested, Florida, Colorado was in on this one too, doesn't matter. Feels like old school Bama has returned in the last 2 weeks, which is really unfortunate, Christian, because I remember talking, and I was one who claimed this. I was one who said there is a real opportunity right now when Hugh Freeze was hired at Auburn and Nick Saban retired at Alabama. There was a perfect opportunity for a changing of the guard, mm-hmm. for a swap or a shift in momentum from one side of the state to the other, top to bottom, left to right. There was a really prime opportunity, one that only comes along once in a lifetime, once in a decade or so, where Auburn, who had been beaten down so badly on the recruiting trail for year after year after year, since the year 2007, Auburn has got their butt kicked on the recruiting trail in football.
Especially in the state of Alabama.
Especially in the state of Alabama. And you felt like there was a perfect opportunity for a change in Tuscaloosa and a new era beginning in Auburn. That was the time to get it back. And you felt like, for about year and a half, 2 years, it was getting to that point. Auburn signed 8 of the top 10 in the state of Alabama from a year ago. You go and get guys like Cam Coleman from Central Phoenix City right down the road, 45 minutes, by the way. You go and get guys from Mobile, North Alabama, Central Alabama. You get them from everywhere. And you felt like Auburn was making the right moves and gaining the momentum and doing all the things that we said they had the chance to do. But it's almost like, when you build all that momentum and you preach all these things and you promise all this stuff that's going to happen, it's almost like going 5-7 in year 2 kind of puts a halt to all that, does it not?
Is that how that works?
I think so. And so all that momentum that you built, all of the positive rapport that you had, all of the glory and the glamour that you had with Auburn and Hugh Freeze and the recruiting guru that he was, all that seems to be gone. And it seems like Kalen DeBoer has walked in, smacked his lunch on the floor, and said, hey, we're back. In the matter of 11 days.
Yeah, you feel like it was the... You're up by a field goal halfway through the fourth quarter. You get a three and out. All of a sudden, you have the ball ready to eat clock. You feel like you have all of the momentum. You get a first down. All of a sudden, you decide to throw on first and 10 and throw an interception. And next thing you know, you're down four.
That sounds familiar.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. It's all too familiar. Or getting a guy on third base with nobody out, and you're down by one, or you're up by one, and you can't bring him home. All of a sudden, oh, I know what's coming. It's a two-run shot in the top half of the very next inning. It's a gut punch. It really, really is. You feel like 2 or 3 years ago, the way that all of Auburn had been pointed at, and the, man, do you really want to come here? Do you really want to go there and win 5 or 6 games, especially now in this NIL world of, yeah, they're going to offer you the same amount as we are, but we can compete for championships. We're playing for games that matter in late November into early December. We're still playing football in January. Doesn't that sound fun?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound a whole lot of fun rather than your season being over in September and all of a sudden your storyline being, oh, man, well, maybe we can play spoiler. Wouldn't you like to be on the team that has to still go out and play every single night to hope that your season doesn't get spoiled? Mm-hmm. As soon as that change happened with Nick Saban, you feel like Auburn then was able to point fingers just a little bit and say, hey, there's nothing over there.
A lot of uncertainty right now. There's so many question marks.
Look what we're building. Look at the recruiting class that we just brought in. Look at what Freeze was able to do in the month and a half when he got hired here. You got guys like Keldrick Falk. Look at what he's going to do this upcoming season. All of a sudden, the first year comes by. Yeah, well, that's still expected. He wasn't able to help with that recruiting class. He couldn't help with what was actually on the field.
Wasn't his
in
guys.
Year one. It wasn't him.
Yeah.
It wasn't his guys. He shouldn't take responsibility. And although it was frustrating, well, you kind of give that grace year, especially because of when he was hired in that late November, early December time, where just the fact that he was able to move Auburn from the 60s to the 20s in the recruiting class, you felt like that was more than enough. Now you're at the point of like what you were saying, you bring in the good recruiting class, okay, you see the positive momentum in year two, yet it just didn't work out like you were hoping, but everything seemed to be okay, and then all of a sudden, 5-7 hits. And you feel like you have fallen splat on your face with everything that has been promised, and it changes so much of, just imagine if we're coming off 8-4. Even if it's 9-4, but we'll take out whatever bowl game. We'll take out the Citrus Bowl or the Pop-Tarts Bowl or whatever
the case
may
be. 7-5, man, just a winning season.
7-5, you win your 8th game in the bowl. Imagine the conversations we're having right now. Because everything that was promised, you feel like there's that light that you can see. It's still pretty distant, but it's getting closer by the day, getting a whole lot closer by the week, by the month. All of a sudden, August hits, and you're excited to play football again because you feel like everything is building in that positive momentum. Right now, I'm excited for Auburn football, but I'm scared as hell for Auburn football simply because of what could possibly happen come August.
You said 5-7 smacked you in the face, but it was a delayed hit, right? I mean, it's like going to Disney World and just running and running and running for 5 or 6 days. You come back, you get home, you're like, okay, I'm fine. But then the next day is when you're like, dang, that hurt, or some jet lag, or, you know, the third day of the flu, or
day three soreness.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what it felt like, because the season ended 5-7. It's like, you know, that sucks, but whatever, we're fine. Here we are. This is the delayed smack in the face, the punch to the gut, the kick in the rear end. It's like, oh, maybe that did have a negative impact. Maybe people did take notice of Auburn going 5-7 last year and blowing game after game after game and letting a team like Vanderbilt step into your stadium and beat you on your home field. It took a while, but I think the month of June you have felt the impacts of that. And for those first 2 years, Auburn sold hope. Auburn sold potential. Auburn sold a vision. Nobody can argue against that. You can't negatively recruit against that, especially Alabama, like you mentioned, who was dealing with their own stuff of finding a new head coach and trying to keep people around without losing their absolute minds that their father had left in Nick Saban, right? But now, after just 1 year, of Kalen DeBoer, who was good, not great, lost their season against Oklahoma, and missed out on the college football playoff, that doesn't even matter. Because he at least won some games in year one, and all he's got to do is sit back, kick his feet up, and watch Auburn eat itself alive, which is exactly what's happening right now, which is how you get 10 commits in 11 days. It's how you have double the amount of five stars as any other team in the country, and you haven't even lifted a finger if you're Kalen DeBoer.
It makes life a whole lot easier when whoever you're competing against is shooting himself in the foot.
Absolutely.
When you don't have to do anything about it, and you can sit there and go, cool, sweet. I'm gonna watch this building burn from a distance, and I'll run in and say, oh no, let me come and save you. And that's now what you're seeing with Alabama. It's what you're seeing with a couple of these other schools. We'll talk about some more in a minute. But again, Denarius Gray being another perfect example of flipping from Auburn to Kentucky. When has that been the story?
In football.
When has it been Auburn losing a receiver commit to Kentucky?
You know what this feels like? We got to get to break. You've seen Cars, right? The original Cars moving on,
sure.
Pixar.
Yeah.
The dirt track scene where Lightning McQueen, he makes the deal with Doc.
He turned right to go left.
Yeah, makes the deal with Doc. He says, hey, all right, old timer, if I beat you in a race, can I go? Will you let me free? Doc says, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's go. Let's race. Let's go. Hot Rod. They sit out there. Lightning revs his engine, takes off, right? Doc just sits there, doesn't do anything, and just watches him go. Watches him fly right on by. And they're like, what are you doing? Why are you sitting there? And he said, come on, let's go for a drive. Because he knew that Lightning McQueen was going to do it to himself. He was going to hurt himself. He wasn't going to be prepared. He was going too fast and didn't know the landscape, and he ended up going right off the track. Doc Hudson wins the race, right? Seems like that's what's happening here. Alabama had a change of the guard. Auburn jumps out to a big lead. But Bama, whether they panicked or not, you didn't see it. Fans did. Alabama fans absolutely lost their minds. But Alabama just waited. I'd say they played the long game, but it hasn't even been that long. Kalen DeBoer's been there for a year. And they're already back to where they were.
It almost feels like, and again, we could talk about this for an hour, but it almost feels like when we talked about, man, if you're DeBoer, you don't want to be that next coach to follow Saban. You want to be the one following him.
So much for that.
You almost feel like year one was that, and now all of a sudden here you are at year two, ready to pick right back up where you left off. And man, you're talking about winning the race. Is 89th better than 7th?
Let me get back to you on that.
I know you might have to count on your toes.
I will.
You said you didn't yesterday. You might have to.
I'll tell you what I think after the break. We've gone way long. We got to get to a break, but my goodness, we're fired up on a Wednesday. 334-321-1390. That's the number if you want to get in on this conversation. I know you've got thoughts. We take our first break here. We're back right after this on ESPN 106.7.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
We continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We went really long in the first segment. We haven't done it. We have not gone that long in quite some time in the first segment. So we have a couple of minutes before we get to our bottom of the hour break. Again, phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. You can give us a call there. You can also shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Hey, reminder, we are going to have Daryl Daprich in hour number two, Double D of Locked On Auburn in the Barn. He'll join us at 315. So looking forward to that conversation coming up in just a little bit.
Yeah, well, while we have just a minute or two, again, trying to kind of moving around the schedule, Pete Nakos had some comments, and it kind of goes with the comments of what we're talking about, or it goes with the subjects of what we're talking about. And he came out on X today, formerly known as Twitter, and said, quote, there is more fake cash being thrown around right now than there was 4 years ago. And so with some of these teams that are making these huge leaps all of a sudden in recruiting, especially ones that you feel like don't see that light at the end of the tunnel and are just trying to fix it by getting these recruiting classes, it's seeing things like that from the experts almost confirm the, okay, We weren't crazy for thinking things like that. We've heard so many rumblings with USC and Lincoln Riley, who somehow have the number one recruiting class in the country of how? Other than the fact that it's Southern California, it feels like there is so much question on the entire coaching staff of, man, yeah, why are they the ones that are leading? And again, we've heard rumblings of them throwing out numbers and then almost doing it like a credit card with these kids of, I'm going to pay you this much, and this much for the 3 years that you'll be here. And then you shake your hands and you walk out the door. Okay. All right. That's fine.
Accounting. Can we afford what we just signed up for? Can we do that? Can we pay that? No?
No.
Hmm.
Well, don't worry about it.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, oh, there's a couple kids that decommitted. You're like, darn. Yes.
Oh, no. I'd hate for you to go somewhere else. And that's what the whole fake cash thing is that Nakos, who, as you said, an expert. He's one of the experts with On3 in terms of recruiting and college football coverage. Fake cash being fake deals, fake promises, which is so crappy, man. Like, it's... And I don't know how you I take that back. I do know how you combat that. You contracts. Put everything on paper with signatures and reporting and make it available to every person who's a citizen of the United States of America.
Yeah, rather than it simply being, you shake my hand, but you didn't see my left hand. Haha, crossies don't count. They were behind my back. It was a joke.
Yeah, just wait, you thought I said a million? No, I said $100. I don't know where you came up with that million. And then it's your word against mine. It's the head coach of a college football program, the NIL collective, and the university they represent versus this 18-year-old high school receiver from Texas and his mom.
Thankfully, though, there's nothing about, like, waivers and student-athletes now that can get out of that house settlement, right?
Oh, right. I'm so glad you bring that up because a new rule has gone into place where, hey, guess what? The transfer portal's open again. We'll talk about that later. Plus, Auburn picks up a transfer portal DB. We got a lot more to get to here in hour number one.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz. On ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on the second day of July, preparing for the 4th of July holiday. Hope you all have some great plans and stay safe and enjoy it with family and friends and all of that good stuff. But we continue on here in hour number one with some news that dropped a little bit ago, hour and a half, 2 hours ago, not even really. It is news that you thought the transfer portal was done, but it ain't, right? The transfer portal will now have a one-time extra window. Listen to this, okay? I'm going to read the legal jargon mumbo jumbo, and then I'm going to let Christian use AI and break it down.
Basically,
because,
yeah.
Because there's a lot of weird language in here because of how all of this goes down. But what is happening is there is now an extra transfer portal window. The NCAA has issued a waiver for designated student athletes to enter the transfer portal this one time. This is an article on On3 that I'm reading from, just to use the actual language from the waiver from the NCAA. Okay, it says the NCAA committee will issue a one-time waiver to allow Division I athletes that programs place on the designated student athlete list to enter the transfer portal between July 7th and August 25th. The deadline for FBS programs to assign DSAs is Sunday, July 6th, which is this coming up Sunday. And some of you may say, wait, what is the designated student athlete list, or DSA, as they're going to refer to it moving forward? The DSA list are grandfathered in athletes that are exempt from the new roster limitations that are implemented as part of the House in the NCAA settlement that was approved last month. This designated student athlete list are athletes on current rosters or recruits who were being brought into the roster that have since lost that spot because with this new settlement, we'll take football for example, you go down from 105 to 85, right? And you now have this list of athletes across all major sports that have lost their roster spot or their promised roster spot. So they go on this thing called the DSA, the Designated Student Athlete List. And so basically, if you have lost your spot because of this House settlement, you get to enter the transfer portal starting on July 7th up until August 5th, and you now are able to go and find a new home. So that's the legal part of all this. That's the what the heck type of language that they put in here. In simpler terms.
Yes, in simpler terms, it's essentially saying that the Committee on the Legislative Relief for the NCAA has granted one-time exceptions, allowing college athletes to enter the transfer portal outside the usual window. Again, this is happening from July 7th to August 5th. And I would assume that this is a one-time deal.
We
have not heard anything about this being in the future because, well, we don't know what's happening in the future. There's just going to be something new that happens in the future just about every single year. But yes, these DSAs, these designated student athletes, are included of current players who were cut from their team because they needed to meet the new roster limits. It's from incoming recruits who had offers for the 2025-2026 season, but their spots were revoked because of the limits. And schools now have until July 6th to label these athletes as DSAs. And I guess an important note to think about is these DSAs don't count against the school's roster limits, and they won't count against the new school that they decide to transfer to. And so, again, all of this is coming from the NCAA versus House settlement that was approved almost a month ago, which introduced the fixed roster limits, which is 105 football players, 15 basketball players, and the direct revenue sharing in the 2025-2026 season. But because these schools needed to kind of reduce these team sizes, some of the players, again, obviously lost their spots, and so that's when this rule has come in to effect. It's a one-time waiver that gives them a new chance and a fair chance to find a new team this summer without having to wait a year to play. So July 7th to August 5th, the transfer portal for essentially whoever these schools say are their DSAs. And there's not a limit on a number, there's not a maximum or a minimum, but the transfer portal, simply said, is about to be back open.
And I think this is going more towards other sports not named football. Because look at basketball or some of these others where basketball went from 17 to 15.
Right.
Football went from 85 to 105. Now, these teams can carry, in the past, they've been able to carry more than that. Not anymore. You have a hard cutoff. What your number is what it is. And I found an article from Sports Illustrated. It's their high school page of SI. Listen to this paragraph right here, which is kind of backing up what I'm saying here. It says, estimates on the number of rosters cuts called for under the settlement range between 5,000 and 13,000 across the 43 sanctioned NCAA sports. So they're predicting, on average, 10,000 athletes to lose their spot because of this House settlement.
It's essentially a transfer portal cycle.
Yeah, that's literally basically the amount of number. Yeah, and it says, so, for example, football programs will be limited to 105 players. Some football programs have carried as many as 180 players, with the average roster size being around 125. Men's basketball has been cut from 17 to 15. Baseball, average size from 41 down to 34. Some sports, mostly on the women's side, have actually gone up. So this is saying, because of the House settlement, we'll just say on average 8 to 10,000 roster spots across the 43 sports. have been lost. Those 8,000 to 10,000 players now can enter the transfer portal for whatever sport they're in if they are directly impacted by the house settlement.
And so it's only going to be a matter of time, hours, maybe days, or if even that, to for where somebody will be able to go in and basically say, these are all of the names that could be listed as these DSAs, but you do feel like it's not going to impact, again, the guys that clearly have those roster spots. You do feel like it has a little bit more good because it's more of the guys that weren't assured a spot or were a little bit further down the depth chart of all of a sudden, hey, I know that Texas State offered you, we were, you know, hoping you would play, but, you know, you're a little bit further down, or I guess Texas A&M, and now Texas State now becomes that offering just because of the kids that got essentially cut from their promise, from their deals with all of this new settlement.
Yeah, and again, I look outside of football, really, because I think you start talking about roster limitations for basketball, baseball, softball, all these teams and all these sports, right, that have seen their roster limits either increase or decrease, and then any player that between now and July 6th, this Sunday, when those roster cuts are made because of this, then you just have to claim to the NCAA, hey, I was cut from my team because of this, and I should be able to enter the portal. This is going to open up a whole nother wave of problems because clearly we've seen the NCAA doesn't know how to handle themselves and handle any sort of situation like this. There will be dozens, if not hundreds, of players that claim they were cut because of this, whether they actually were or not.
Or maybe not cut, but maybe their agreement was cut in half, or maybe
they were impacted or affected.
Right. Yes. And so, yeah, it's going to come. Yeah, lawsuits will come of, like, this is not, don't wreck outside because I'm saying this, but an example could be, yeah, if it was a Cam Coleman that was, hey, because of this house settlement, my NIL went from this to this. I was negatively impacted. I was affected. I got cut, essentially.
I should be able to enter
the able to enter the transfer portal because that promise was not filled out to me. Yeah, it's definitely, it's on the rise. You feel like right now, when this first came out, it was, oh gosh, again, you feel like the more that we've dove into it and the more that we've been able to talk about it, because we're kind of talking through it right now, trying to understand everything, you feel like it does have more good than bad. Yet with anything good, there's going to be the people that you give an inch and they're going to try and take a mile, or they're going to try and take a million. And that's how it's going to end up working. You just hope that there's some sort of backbone on this of being able to simply say the word no of you were not the ones that were truly affected.
Yeah, I mean, I think the premise of this is good. It's to help impact players who were negatively impacted by the house settlement that they were not able to have a say in, right? I mean, these athletes didn't get to defend themselves in court. They were just the ones of, hey, here's this settlement. Sorry, man, we're out of...
Yeah, you mind coming to meet me in my office real fast?
Yeah, hey, got some bad news, man. Yeah, meet me here. You like... The premise of this idea of this new portal window that's going to open on July 7th and close on August 5th for these players on the DSA list, the designated student athlete list, who are losing their spot on a roster or their future spot on a roster, aka a recruit, those kids are now given the opportunity because of a waiver given out by the NCAA. They are now able to enter the transfer portal with proof. I'm sure it has to get approved by the NCAA, and that's what I say. Good luck managing this.
It says that the they must be officially released by their current school, often by removing some of these contractual restrictions.
Which has to be done by this Sunday. Is what the dates is. It says on July 6th that this all has to be done.
And it's a wild statement, too, that once these kids are in the portal, they don't count for or against either the old school or the new school that they are will be attending.
So it's just a free roster spot?
Essentially, yeah.
Interesting.
So I know that my roster spot for baseball is 34 instead of 41, but this year it's going to be 38. And then we'll figure it out next
year. Is there a limit on how many of these portal players, these DSA portal players you can get?
There's no minimum or maximum for how many you get or how many you quote-unquote release.
That's broken.
And that's where you feel like it's going to come up with.
Which, I mean, I guess I get it, because if you put a limit on the teams, then you're technically putting a limit on the players who you're giving the ability to go to a new team anyway. I get that, but that just seems broken. The premise is good.
Wait. A rule in the NCAA seems broken?
Seems like it's going to be nearly impossible to actually manage all of this. Where have I heard that before? It's like that phrase and the NCAA are just married and they just follow each other. It's like a shadow, man. It just follows the NCAA wherever they go.
Yeah, they're not oil and water whatsoever, right? They're one and the same, and they just mix, no issues. And I'm hearing actually everybody's singing Kumbaya whenever this term gets brought up. And
the best way I would say is once Monday comes around, let's see who enters. Let's see how this goes across all sports. I'm fascinated to see what this is going to look like.
Will there be big names? That's such a crazy concept. Who's going to be the one pioneer that tries to go through and gets denied? But then all of a sudden something will come out next year.
Yeah, but like you said, you have to officially be cut from the roster according to this. But I'm worried about the abusers of the world that are going to come around, like you were saying, well, my deal got cut, my playing time's getting cut, whatever BS argument they want to come up with.
You will release me.
Yeah, like I deserve this. You can't, here's a loophole that my lawyer found that you can't tell me I'm wrong, right? Those are the ones that will ruin it for everybody else.
Or it's going to be the, Jacob, I know you gave me a pay cut, essentially. You're going to pay me. And I want payment. Otherwise, you will. Actually, I don't even want the payment. You're going to release me. Then you come back and say, okay, well, let's now have these conversations. Let's open up your NIL. Let's have a reevaluation.
Dude.
Actually, nope, that wasn't promised. And then it's going to go all the way back to 2 or 3 years ago with Jaden Rashada and how his deal wasn't met at Florida, and you're going to see a continuous cycle.
Bro, but think about this. All the that entire situation that you just laid out, that has to happen in the next Saturday. That has to happen in the next 4 days for any player when this news came out. There's somebody out there that had that exact thought that you just laid out.
Their agent said, this doesn't affect you,
they said,
but how could it affect you?
Yes, this wasn't meant for you, but you may be able to get a piece of this. Yep. Oh, you're unhappy playing at LSU? Go in and make demands. Go in and put your feet on the desk. Go in and say, you will release me.
Or we will renegotiate.
Good Lord. Thankfully, you're only working in a 4-day window, if it hasn't happened already, to where you don't think this could get out of hand, but it very quickly could. Thank you, Lord, that the 4th of July is this weekend, man.
Wait until something comes out on, August 10th of the kids that, or I guess on July 10th when you can't be listed as a DSA, and it's going to be the, coach, we talked. You said you were going to put me on there. And now all of a sudden that whole
thing. I bet these coaches have shut their phones off, man. I bet every head coach.
Coach, we need to talk. Sorry, I'm at the beach.
Yeah, man, I'm on the water. Sorry, I don't have good service out here, man. I don't know what to tell you. Lake Barnes got crappy cell service.
I'm on the golf course.
What a wild transition, or what a wild thing to break on a Wednesday afternoon. I mean, it could be massive. It could be nothing. All we know is that it's happening, and we'll find out more on Monday, July 7th, when all of this does officially open up. We need to take our final break here in hour number one. Some recruiting news for Auburn out of the transfer portal. We'll talk about that. Get ourselves into hour number two, where Darren Aprich of Locked On Auburn in the Barn will join us for Double D Wednesday. That's all here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We got a couple of minutes before we get into hour number two, where we will talk a little bit about the Pac-12 and the new look Pac-12. It's back. It's alive. It never died, Christian. It's like a cockroach, man. You can't kill the Pac-12. It's not you going can't. Anywhere. Nope. So we'll talk about that coming up in hour number two. And then Daryl Dapperidge of Locked On Auburn and The Barn will be joining us. We'll talk some basketball with him, the transition from Under Armour to Nike, also a lot of this football recruiting stuff, and something we're going to talk about here for just a few minutes, and we'll get some more thoughts from him later on, is the fact that Auburn picked up a defensive back in the transfer portal in the middle of the summer, right? That's pretty cool. Auburn picks up a guy from the JUCO ranks, one that actually played a couple of seasons at Texas A&M. His name is Jacoby Matthews. He played at Texas A&M in 2022 and 2023. And you may say, well, who was his defensive coordinator? Oh, yeah. DJ Durkin was the guy in charge there when Jacoby Matthews played on the defense of Texas A&M. At the time, he was ranked as the number one safety in the recruiting class of 2022. So this dude is legit. He is a really, really good player. He's got the stats to back it up when he was at Texas A&M. He was a guy who, in 21 games at Texas A&M, 66 total tackles, half of a sack, 8 pass breaks up, and had 1 interception. And so he then went to the JUCO ranks to focus on some academic things, and now he's back to college football, back in the SEC, and he's back playing under DJ Durkin.
Yeah, and it's awesome because safeties and DBs are almost like offensive linemen, where you're never going to complain about adding a roster spot and being able to get somebody like this that was that former five-star that has such a companionship and a friendship with his now current coach in DJ Durkin. It shows you how absolutely amazing, again, just his whole recruiting tree is and how big his name is, how much weight it carries. And so, again, there's not too many questions on the defensive side of the football, at least as a whole, right now. But yeah, Jacoby Matthews joining a very, very young, but a very, very talented and a very loaded roster room, especially in the safeties and the DBs. Everybody there has a real chance to do something really special and have a really, really solid year. And now you have somebody that has truly been there, done that at multiple levels to kind of lead this room and hopefully take that leadership experience role and being able to teach some of these young guys that are playing year one or playing year two in the orange and blue.
Well, what's cool about Jacoby Matthews is, yes, he's transferring to Auburn. As I mentioned, he was the number one ranked safety in the class of 2022. He steps on campus with 2 years of eligibility and also immediate eligibility. He will be a part of this year's upcoming team. There's no sitting out. There's no waiting. None of that. He's on the team. He will be here in the next couple of weeks is what he said. He said everything's a done deal. He's just got to get here and get to be a part of the team. So you expect a transition period, but you add an experienced safety to the DB's room for Auburn football and DJ Durkin. We'll talk more about that with Daryl Dapperidge coming up in hour number two, plus some basketball conversations with him. And we're talking the Pac-12. It is back, baby. We talk about all that and more coming up in hour number two. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this sunny Wednesday afternoon here in Auburn, Opelika, or wherever you may be tuned in to us. We appreciate you being along for the ride. If you missed any of hour number one, it was a good one. We talked a whole lot of things in the first 60 minutes as recruiting continues to go in the wrong direction for Auburn football. We talked about that a lot in the first hour as Sadarian Morgan, the five-star wide receiver from just up the road, and Benjamin Russell made his commitment choice today, and he picked Alabama over Georgia, Auburn, and others. We talked about that and how maybe the changing of the guard isn't happening like we thought it was in recruiting here in the state of Alabama. Plus, there's a new transfer portal window that's going to open up in the next couple of days. We talked about that and all the dark sides that it could bring with it as the NCAA issues a waiver there. Plus, hit on a little bit the fact that Auburn has picked up a new transfer portal safety from the JUCO ranks. All of that was in hour number one, and so if you missed it, you can always catch up with the podcast version of the show each and every day on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, man, it's Double D Wednesday, Double D Friday, kind of, sort of, maybe, here during the shows. But we're going to talk with Daryl Dapprich from 315 to 345. Going to get his thoughts on a little bit of basketball news with the Players Era Tournament, now the official games that Auburn will be playing against Oregon and Michigan. Also going to talk to him about the move to Nike, the impact for basketball, for football, for baseball, for women's tennis, for all of the above, and how Nike will impact whether it's the gear, whether it's the fan base, whether it's the recruiting, all of the above. We're going to get his thoughts on that as well. Also going to talk to him about the football side of things, about another swing and miss with Sadarian Morgan, which Jacob just talked to about. Also the DB that was added formerly from Texas A&M, and some of the odds for the first couple of games, and a conversation that we had a little bit yesterday on, would you rather Auburn go 10-2, but you lose to both Georgia and Alabama, or would you rather go 8-4, but you beat one of those rivals? Which one gives you a little bit more of the advantage, whether that be in the near future with 10-2, almost guaranteeing a playoff spot, versus 8-4, but you get that win over Alabama, and you feel like all of a sudden that could make the recruiting flip go right back to where it needs to, and you feel like we have to talk about something, and it's relatively important for all of college sports. I'm Christian Griffin. He's Jacob Goins here on ESPN 106.7, and appreciate everybody for tuning in. And text box has been blowing up all afternoon. We appreciate it at 334-784-1067. That's how you can connect to us for the rest of the show this afternoon, again, with Daryl coming in. Any quick hitters, any questions for him that we can ask Mr. Daryl Dapprich, we're more than happy to. But 334-784-1067, and news that, Jacob, you teased on the way out, but the Pac-12, Pac Jesus,
it's back, baby.
Is back. We thought it was dead, and next thing you know, it's back, baby.
See, I thought you were going to call it Pac Texas, since they've got a team from Texas in there. I mean, the fact that the state of Texas is now represented, and I think every conference in college football, is pretty wild to me.
I don't know. I need to copyright Pac Jesus.
Pac Jesus, yeah, I like that. You thought it was dead, and it ain't. It's back, baby. I love it.
There's also plenty of people that have referred to it as Gonzaga and the States, because that is quite literally what it is. It is Gonzaga, it is Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, Oregon State, San Diego State, Texas State, Utah State, and Wazoo, Washington State. It is Gonzaga and the States. Pac Jesus is back, baby. Pac Jesus after dark. We're going to have football all the way until 2 a.m.
The Pac State Conference is what somebody else called it. The Pac State Conference. That's
fantastic.
So awesome. Somebody said, get Wichita State, please.
All of them. Get everybody in.
I mean, I have so many questions.
What's a good state brand? Because it'll be sponsored by something.
Allstate.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. The Allstate Pac-12.
The Allstate
Pac State. Yeah, Allstate, Pac State, baby. There it is. I better get some sort of like finder's fee for that. Like, I would claim that.
We need to have our names somewhere in this.
You said it. Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, Gonzaga, Oregon State, San Diego State, Texas State, Utah State, and Washington State. So stupid. The Pac-12 is back, and not that it officially died. It just kind of went away for a little bit, and then now it comes back.
Why are we doing it, too? There's an odd number of teams.
What do you mean?
There's nine.
2, 4, 6, 8, 9 So, yeah, how all exactly does
I mean,
that
I guess the eight
work?
Conference games is going to be the case.
And there's
but
just one team that you don't.
Well, I guess you wouldn't play yourself, so you're playing the other eight.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I mean,
it still just doesn't feel like that should be how it works out. But
no, it doesn't really. The news with all of this is the fact that Texas State is leaving the Sun Belt Conference to go and be a part of the Pac-12. That's well, I mean, that's the latest news. That's kind of where the Pac-12 has been finalized. And so this will all be become official on July 1 of 2026. So literally 364 days from right now is when this will all become finalized. The only two teams that are actually still in the Pac-12 as of right now are Oregon State and Washington State. Gonzaga is joining the conference, of course. Oh, well, you got to think, too, Gonzaga doesn't play football. So there's that aspect, the fact that Gonzaga doesn't have a football team. So and so you look at all of this, and I don't really know what that means across the board in terms of what the Pac-12's legitimacy is going to be, what their respect level is going to be, what their seat at the table looks like moving forward, right, with expansion of the college football playoff, or if the bigger conferences just kind of snuff their nose up at them and say, eh, well, we're not really, you're not the Pac-12 of old, right? I mean, you've got, there's only two teams that remain there. I said Oregon State and Washington State. Everybody else has dipped out. You've got teams like Colorado who have gone to the Big 12. Arizona's gone to the Big 12. Arizona State has gone to the Big 12. BYU, which they were just kind of out there, they're now a part of the Big 12, too. You've got, of course, the four that left the Pac-12 to go to the Big 10, UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington. And so I don't really know how to feel about this new look Pac-12 that's going to take place on July 1 of 2026.
You feel like it's the P4.5. Like they're the one conference in the middle of the group of five teams and the power four teams. I mean, you feel like, is basketball going to be the biggest strength of this conference just because of Gonzaga and San Diego State? And then Utah State's not terrible. You hear their name every now and then, in Colorado State, too, has a pretty good argument to still be playing basketball if Derek Queen didn't get called for the travel, or if he got called for the travel. But you feel like that's going to be the sport where there's at least a little bit more legitimacy. Credit to Gonzaga, man. You're not playing San Francisco State Penitentiary of JV women anymore, like on a Saturday night.
Yeah,
at
you
10:30.
Picked up Texas State. Congratulations, losers. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, I'm still never going to. Let me go ahead and say this about Gonzaga. Joining whatever you call this, Pac State 12, whatever the heck this is, this doesn't make you better. You're not. Joining the Pac-12 doesn't make you a championship contender, because Gonzaga, I will die on that hill, the fact that until they decide to join a real conference and play a real schedule and actually become a legitimate program in college basketball, they will never win at all. So just throwing that out there, because I've been on that hill for a long time. I'm almost as passionate about that as I am James Franklin as a great head coach in college football.
You love both of them.
I really do. I almost went to Gonzaga. Do you know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
Penn State was just calling your name instead.
And then I transferred to Ohio State.
Man. And then Michigan.
Then Michigan State.
And then somehow became a snowbird and moved your way down south.
I settled and went to Auburn. Yeah. So, yeah.
You
so
wanted
you
to
go.
Watch good football
over
your college years, so you chose Auburn.
Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the problem. Maybe it's my fault. That's hand up. Accountability. I'll take the blame on that one. So there you go. There's the new look Pac-12. It's coming in July of 2026. Again, all the state schools and then Gonzaga. So I'm not really worried about it. We'll see kind of how that all impacts the future of college football, college basketball, and beyond with expansion across the board. So there you go. There's the new Pac-12.
The slogan, Zaga and the States, and eights is the letter eight because there's eight other teams in there with Gonzaga.
We can't say RIP to the Pac-12 anymore because it's back. God, what a downgrade for the Pac-12.
Rest in peace and the prayers. They work because it's back.
It's back, man. It's something. It ain't pretty, but it's back.
The Power 4.5.
The Power 4, I don't even know, 0.5 is fair to say. They're like, I don't even know. They're like their own subcategory down below in between the Group of Five and the Power 5 or Power 4.
On our way out, before we get Daryl Dapprich on the phone lines, we're making fun of him. How many teams does Auburn beat of these teams?
Yeah, we got to get to break. 334. Actually, no, don't call that because it's going to be closed. We got to get Daryl Dapprich on here because I am scared and don't want to answer that question. We'll take a break. Come back. Double D Wednesday. It's coming up next here on ESPN 106.7.
War Eagle, this is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Auburn Opelika sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
It's one of our favorite times of the week here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and we know it's one of your favorite times as well. It is Double D Wednesday with Daryl Dapprich of Locked On Auburn and the Barn. My man, it is good to have you on, and I know you're making preparations and for that big 4th of July holiday, my friend.
That's right, man. I every time I think of 4th of July, I think of that one iconic scene in the movie Sandlot. Have you, obviously, I would hope you've seen this movie.
Yes. I don't know if Jacob has. Okay.
Come on. Okay. Come on. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd be able to associate with you. But that scene is one of the most iconic. You know, there's a lot of great baseball movies with a lot of great iconic scenes. Dad, you want to have a catch. You know, Bull Durham's got some. The Natural. Moneyball, all those. But that scene where they say it's the only time of year they can play a night game because they go to the neighborhood field and the fireworks light up the sky while Ray Charles is belting out America the Beautiful. That scene is just perfection. And, you know, anybody that's ever grown up, and unfortunately, I'm going to get on the soapbox now, but that's okay. You took me there. anybody that's ever grown up in certain generations, I really feel bad for people that did not get to experience the neighborhood field, the neighborhood ball field, where there was a ball field in every neighborhood that was in 5-10 minutes walking distance, where all your friends met in the summer, and you played pickup baseball games. I go and visit and travel to see customers at all different parts of the country. And I was in Boston a couple years ago, and I was driving through a neighborhood that had one of the coolest, nicest neighborhood fields I've ever seen at 1 o'clock on a summer afternoon in Boston, and not a soul was on that field. And it just killed me. And
that's
I just
so upsetting.
Think that's why that scene means so much. It reminds me of growing up and, you know, but that the night game and the line where they said, while everyone stopped to look at the night sky, they knew Benny the Jet Rodriguez was going to be a major leaguer because he kept playing.
Jacob
and
was,
it's incredible.
I was going to say, Jacob was more of the squints guy. He was playing in the pool looking at Miss Wendy. And so
look, you got to give props. If Jacob was Squint Caledoris and got Wendy
Peppercorn, right?
Whatever. Yeah, Peppercorn. He did more in that movie than Benny the Jet Rodriguez did stealing home, to be perfectly honest.
That's a pretty good pull.
Yeah, that pull that he got, you talk about out kicking your coverage. He accomplished more than Benny the Jet stealing home. So, yeah, iconic baseball movie, doesn't get enough credit for all the little. I think what happens is it gets overshadowed with the stupid dog and all that. I mean, I'm not trying, but that whole way that goes and takes it. Stupid, gigantic dog that no dog would be that. But that kind of, you know.
Let it out, Daryl. Let it out on this Wednesday, brother.
Yeah. James Earl Jones, though. How classic is that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he makes an appearance at the end. And it's just a good – it's one of those that I like – I want to watch around the 4th of July. I always take time to – to saddle up and watch that. So,
moral of the story, don't leave a baseball in Daryl Dapprich's backyard. That's what I'm
That's what I heard.
What now? I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't leave a baseball. Otherwise, I mean, you might be the scary dog out there that's not letting the kids get back.
No, see, that's the difference. I would get all those baseballs and throw them with kids. I'd play catch with the kids. Yeah, that's what you need to do.
Daryl's a kid at heart, man. Yeah, Daryl
is love of the game, man. And we played so much wiffle ball in the summer and all that. I mean, it was just nonstop. We'd go to the field and, you know, I mean, it was just 3-4 hours worth of baseball, and people just don't understand that or appreciate that right now. And like I said, all these fields are just sitting vacant, and it's a shame. It really is.
I'm with you. Look, I have to admit, and then we will talk some Auburn basketball and football and things that are happening.
Is that why I thought we brought him on for this?
Oh, I mean, this is better news than what we have to talk about. But
Daryl, thoughts on Joey Chestnut? Are you going to eat as many hot dogs?
Yeah,
as
over
he is?
Or under no. Joey Chestnut hot dogs eating on the 4th of July?
I love hot dogs. I love them not just on the 4th of July. I'm a hot dog guy. I have to go with the all-beef version now, though, after. But, yeah, hot dogs and hamburgers. You know, I've been places where people want to do steaks or pork tenderloin and ribs and all that. I'm like, no. 4th of July is for hamburgers and hot dogs. Let's go. So, yeah, I'm a hamburger hot dog guy. And, I don't know you guys growing up. We also had the block party things too. Every neighbor would come out of their house and bring a folding table and chairs, and the dads would grill out and have coolers of beer. And the neighborhood, especially in a cul-de-sac, we would have 15, 20 families and have a neighborhood block party for the 4th of July. And then everybody would get on their roofs to watch the fireworks, because we were, where I grew up, had flat roofs.
Back in the day, so, when you could do cool stuff like that before people would, you know, flip out about falling off the roof.
Exactly. We weren't soft, that's for sure.
Well, man, I wish we could sit and talk more about baseball movies and grill outs on the 4th of July and our favorite firework that we like to shoot off. But I do think it is important that we talk a little bit of Auburn athletics, I guess, right?
Sure.
I guess we'll get into that a little bit. And we want to start on the basketball side, where we know that Auburn and Bruce Pearl, of course, have another stacked non-conference schedule coming up in 2025 and 2026 with games against Purdue and Arizona and Houston and things like that. But we also know that Auburn is going to be playing in the Players Era Tournament out in Las Vegas, the NIL tournament, where Auburn learned and has approved and confirmed today that their first two opponents will be Oregon, who won the event last year, and Michigan, who Auburn beat in the Sweet 16. Your thoughts on those two games, plus all the other teams that are going to be in this tournament?
Well, I love this tournament, and I wish there was one like this for football, because it could use the NIL. But I think the opportunity to have – I mean, this is a very, very rich revenue stream tournament, this Players Era. And, you know, I thought Auburn's schedule last year was brutal, and I thought it was going to get a lot easier this year, and it really hasn't. I mean, you know, the return trip to Purdue, Houston to come into Birmingham, going out to McHale Center in Arizona, which is a very, very tough place to play. Oregon, Michigan again. I mean, it's – again, I think that Bruce Pearl schedules as he looks at his roster and reacts accordingly. And I, you know, I think you were there, Jacob, when we had the opportunity to ask him that at that ambush event.
Mm-hmm.
In Dallas last year during SEC Media Days. And I just really believe he feels like this team's going to be really, really good again. It might take a little longer to gel because of chemistry. So, therefore, you see the kind of scheduling. And it's a good one. I mean, it's a dandy. And, of course, the SEC's not getting any easier. But Oregon's a good basketball team. They play on one of the stupidest-looking courts in America. but they're a good basketball team. Michigan, we know, you know, had a good year last year. They will be without Trey Donaldson, obviously, who's now at Miami. But it's going to be a very good – at the end of the day, Auburn's strength of schedule, their RPI, all that stuff, net, all that stuff is going to be really, really good going into SEC play. And I just – they're not letting up in the way of scheduling. And it tells me it's an indicator of what kind of team Bruce Pearl thinks he's going to have.
Daryl, what are your thoughts on it just being – a three-game tournament, right? Obviously, they've had so many times when multiple teams are 2-0, and so they've implemented now to where it is the – obviously, you go 2-0, but it's the scoring margin, then the amount of points that you've scored versus the amount of points that you've given up. I mean, you're not going to see the guys 10, 15 spots down the bench come and play the final 4 minutes because those last 4 minutes can be so crucial. Do you wish there were a couple more games, or do you like it just being that three-game window to where you're not trying to burn yourself and play those 4 games in 4 days?
Well, I like staying away from the 4 games in 4 days, but I truly believe that Auburn has benefited from playing those type of tournaments.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the years that Auburn has gone to the Final Four, they've played in those tournaments where they've had to play back-to-back. You know, the Bahamas last year, was it the Bahamas last year? Yeah. Where they won 4 games in 4 days.
Yeah, Atlanta. Maui. Maui was a couple years ago. Atlantis last year, right?
Yeah. Well, whatever they did last year.
Yeah, it was the Maui Invitational.
Maui,
yeah. And they won that tournament, and I think that was a springboard for them. And so I believe that helps because you get used to having to, if you want to win the SEC tournament, the SEC tournament more than anything else. Because, you know, the NCAA tournament, you play 2 games in 4 days, and then you get 5 days off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not as bad. But to answer your question, no. I'd like to see the format be 4 games. I want to see. I don't like tiebreakers, and I would like to see kids be able to come off the bench and get experience and get a chance to play. And so I don't particularly care for the format at all. It reeks of travel ball to me a little bit, you know, club basketball, that kind of thing.
Interesting. Well, I think there are a lot of takes on that in terms of what Auburn could do or who the teams they'll see. We know it'll be Oregon and Michigan and possibly one other team, and excited to see that all come to fruition in November out in Las Vegas. We'll take our bottom of the hour break and come back. Keep talking with Daryl Dapperich for Double D Wednesday. The transition from Under Armour to Nike. Plus, is Auburn recruiting doomed? And the fact that the Tigers pick up a transfer portal safety who is now signed and official. All that is coming up here with another segment of Daryl Dapperich right after this.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, which means we have another segment with Double D, Daryl Dapperich, who's on the phone lines with us now. My man, plug it all. Tell people what you got going on, where they can find you throughout the month of July.
You can catch me on Locked On Auburn on Wednesdays and Fridays with Zach Blackerby, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube. Sunday nights on The Barn, live at 8 p.m. with Kyle Rush and Zach Blackerby. And then, of course, appearances 7:10 in the morning with Ben Taylor on WANI. I'm with you every Wednesday, 3:15 to 3:45. And then SEC Media Days coming around the corner. Have a lot of content that we put out, a lot of interviews, that kind of thing from SEC Media Days once we go out there.
Yep, looking forward to seeing you again in Atlanta and spending the week with you and collaborating. And we'll have you on the show live at one point out there, hopefully on a Wednesday afternoon. Just kind of depends on what the schedule looks like. But we'll get you on the air and be able to spend the week with you, and really looking forward to that, which is right around the corner. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from SEC Media Days over in Atlanta. And so much that will be discussed there, but a lot of things that have been discussed this week, Daryl, is what happened officially yesterday was Auburn Athletics moving away from Under Armour, a brand they had been wearing for almost 20 years, and they have officially moved into the number one ranked sports apparel brand in the world. The Tigers will be wearing Nike moving forward. Your thoughts on this officially becoming a thing?
Well, it's, you know, long overdue. We heard rumblings for a while. People couldn't wait to get out of the Under Armour contract. They felt like it hurt recruiting. They felt like they made inferior products when it came to footwear. I would remind everybody that when they made this deal, I guess it would have been 2006, is when Auburn became an Under Armour school. It was very, very well received and very cutting edge. Everyone went out and bought. Under Armour was the hot brand then. And, you know, it never was anything from a shoe standpoint, from a footwear standpoint, but apparel, it became so much so that Nike started doing dry fit clothes, dry fit shirts and shorts to mimic the Under Armour design, which wasn't called dry fit, but was that moisture wicking stuff. I mean, that was when it started coming out. Uniforms, travel uniforms, rec league, all-star uniforms, everybody started going to that in the mid-2000s because of Under Armour. It just became quite evident that the shoe was not something that the kids really liked or really wore. The gear started to wear off, and it became more of a, middle-aged or older, people were a little bit older than teenagers or college kids wore Under Armour stuff. And so it's been a move that's been well received and it's been long overdue. And I think some of the stuff that we've seen come out already with some of the coaches and some of the uniforms in the last 48 hours has been pretty cool. And I think it's different people have different takes on it. There's always things that people try to find things to argue about from a standpoint of, Nike as a company and some of the things they believe and all that. I just say, you don't even worry about that kind of stuff. You worry about what is the best quality for your teams, your coaches, your fans from a recruiting standpoint. And I think from that, Auburn has hit it out of the park. I will say I would have preferred the Jordan brand than Nike, which is obviously, but I think that having had both and Locked On Auburn has Jordan gear and Nike gear and all that just to kind of promote the show and the podcast, the Jordan gear is a little bit better quality as far as hoodies and polos and that kind of stuff. But Nike is still king when it comes to recognition. And so I think it's a good move. And I think it's definitely, well worth the wait and long overdue.
Well, I mean, on the recruiting side, Daryl, basketball seems to be the one that could benefit the most from that, right? And we actually talked a little bit yesterday how, look, there's probably a lot of people out there that think that this whole idea is stupid and apparel doesn't matter and what the kids wear on the floor doesn't matter. But we know that Nike, in terms of basketball stuff, is king. And so, I mean, that's where we're talking recruiting in the most part, right, in terms of the ground that Auburn can make up wearing Nike rather than a different brand?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Nike warm-ups, Nike shoes, the Nike uniforms, the Nike camps, they all coincide. But here's a little known fact that a lot of people don't know. I'm going to drop a nug on your show to some of your listeners.
Here we go.
There is a way. Now, I'm not saying Auburn will do this. I'm not saying that they've looked into this.
It's a direct report from Daryl Dappert from the source. Take it and run to the bank,
ladies.
I'm
just telling you this could happen, and it's happened before, and there is a precedent. If Auburn wanted to, from a basketball standpoint, they could be outfitted in Nike uniforms but wear Jordan shoes. People will say, no, that's not true. Auburn will deny that. But there are clauses and loopholes and things that could make that happen if Auburn wanted to do that. If Auburn wanted to wear Nike uniforms and wear Jordan shoes, they could, because technically – they're part of the same company, corporate. See what I'm saying?
We talked a little bit about that yesterday, of how they're not the umbrella school like Florida or the Oklahoma, but could very easily, you could see, Jordan make its appearance on the court, or even you're seeing some of the kids with the design Jordan cleats, like that could now take a precedent. And just, again, the overall street cred of Nike and Jordan taking over, and we talked a little bit about the look good, feel good, play good, and despite everybody's beliefs on whether or not that feels relevant or not, the perfect example is what Oregon was able to do in the late 2000s, early 2010s of, hey, all of these top recruits wanted to go be a part of something special just simply because of what they were doing with that check mark on their chest.
Yeah, I mean, there's a way to do it. There's a definite way to do it to where you stay true to the Nike brand uniform and just wear the Jordan shoes. And I think that is the best of both worlds, because that really draws kids too when they open up that box of Jordans. And so, you know, I don't know whether Auburn has pursued that, looked into that, if that's even something they will do. But I think there's been other schools out there that have dabbled in that and been able to do that. And so that's something just maybe to keep an eye on if down the road, if there's some sort of agreement that could come in place with that. As far as, you know, how it affects look good, feel good, play. I mean, the key, you absolutely want, it's not just the players. I mean, fans want to buy stuff that's very, very popular and looks good. And then the coaches' collection, the sideline gear. I'm sorry, but Nike just makes far superior and a lot more choices of quarter zips, sideline gear shirts, all that kind of stuff for coaches. And There's a lot of different color combinations, a lot of different styles and all that. And so for the coaches, when they're out recruiting, all that stuff matters. It very much matters. And so, definitely a move in the right direction. And I think you'll only see it grow.
We're talking with Daryl Dappert of Locked On Auburn and The Barn here on ESPN 106.7 and ESPNAU.com. Let's flip over to football a little bit, Daryl, because we'll start with the bad news and then get to the good news as recruiting continues to go the wrong direction. We saw earlier today, Sadarian Morgan, the five-star wide receiver just up the road from us in Alex City at Benjamin Russell, made his announcement that he is going to Alabama, where the Crimson Tide have picked up their 10th commit in the last 11 days. They have 4 5 stars in that class of 2026, and Auburn just can't seem to make up any sort of ground. What's going on, Daryl? What is your what's your takeaway on what's happening right now?
Well, that the CeeDee Morgan stuff is no surprise. It was the Rankins kid that committed to Florida State that
had
the tackle from Georgia today that was a surprise, because he was crystal ball to Auburn. And kids that was crystal ball to Auburn are not going to Auburn, and kids that are at Auburn like Carter and Gray and Tootle are flipping and going somewhere else. And so I think you'd have to be naive to not think there's a long game being played here. There's no way on God's green earth Auburn's going to lay down and take this, and this is how their recruiting is going to end up. They are waiting this out for a particular reason. These guys did not forget how to recruit. The NIL money didn't dry up. There is something at work here that I think is Auburn is playing the waiting game, playing the long game. And it's not about, oh, let's just wait and see what happens if we win games. There's a lot of different factors. It's not just one thing. I do believe there are 3 or 4 things that are attributing to this. And it could be all. It could be 2 or 3. You know, number one is what we just talked about. Auburn's playing the long game. I think they're waiting to see how this all plays out and some of these deals that are being made with other schools. When it's time to come pay the bill, will it come to fruition? Will these deals be nullified? Will there be money? Will Florida State have the money to pony up with all these players? Number two, I definitely think that there is concern as far as negatively recruiting against Hugh Freeze and his health. I think that's happening, but that's the way it is with big boy football. I think there are a school of thought that Auburn went heavy, heavy on the portal as far as allocating funds, because the pressure is to win and win right now. And where you could have afforded a couple years ago and last year to allocate funds for the future, i.e. recruiting classes, now you better win immediately because you've come off 4 losing seasons. And so to do that, you spent heavy in the portal. And then the last thing, and the thing that I think is, you know, viable as well, is that some of these people that are stroking checks from, you know, On to Victory and some of these other ones behind the scenes, boosters, donors, are probably saying, you know what, I want to see something better on the field, mm-hmm. a better product on the field before I stroke that next big check. Let's see what happens in September. Let's see what happens in October. And that's why I believe there's no need to panic. You can be concerned in the here and now because it sucks in the here and now right now. But we're a long way from December. And all it'll take is Auburn to have a good September and a good October, and you're a month and a half away from putting pen to paper, and this thing could just break. The dam could break. So I think there's some people that are waiting to see before they write that check. And they want to see, even in September, guys, if Auburn's 3-1 in September and heading in the right direction, okay, let's loosen up the purse string. So I don't think it's ever my life. In my life, I go by two mottos. There are two things can be true at once, and the other one is it's never just one thing. It's always more than that. There are a lot of different factions at play here, and I just think some of the things I've talked about with you guys I've heard, and I think that, you know, more than most could be true in that scenario.
We've talked so much about these home games, right? And now Georgia being the night game in Jordan-Hare, Alabama possibly being that late afternoon or night game, and how big those weekends could be for recruiting. It was a fun conversation that Jacob and I had yesterday, and wanted to get your thoughts on it as well, Daryl, of the, I guess, on the recruiting side of things, and then as well as the short-term versus the long-term. Would you rather Auburn go 10-2, but you lose both of those games to Georgia and to Alabama, but you do something Auburn hasn't done, and you win on the road, you take care of business against who you should, and you have 2 5-game win streaks in there? Or would you rather possibly go 9-3 or 8-4, I guess is the more realistic option, but you beat Georgia or Alabama to where you have one of those big-time recruiting weekends and it turns into a victory to where you can see things starting to go in that right direction?
I take the 10-2 all day long because I put you in the college football playoff. And Auburn football is much bigger than just beating Alabama or Georgia.
Sure.
Who cares if it doesn't get you in the playoff? You get in the playoff at 10-2, and who cares about losing to Alabama and Georgia? You're in the stinking playoff. So if you could give me, if you could guarantee me a 9-3 with a split against Bama and Georgia and still get in the playoff, I'd take that. But I think 10-2 in the SEC, guys, even if you lose to Georgia and Alabama, because think about it, you would be, what, 10-1 going into the Alabama game?
Yeah.
And you'd,
you're in the playoff.
And you'd
you're
most likely
in the playoff. And you might be playing for an SEC title.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, just because you lose to Georgia and Alabama doesn't mean they're going to win the rest of their games. They may lose 3 games or 2 games. And, heck, you may get another shot at one of them. So I'd take 10-2 because that's getting you in the playoff. And then, you know, great. Print, hang the banner. Georgia and Alabama beat Auburn again. But if you're in the playoff – and you get a couple wins in the playoff, that's much more important and much more impactful for the program than just beating Alabama and Georgia. Auburn has beaten Alabama and Georgia over the years in significant stretches for a long period of time. It's been a long time since that's happened. What they haven't done is been to a college football playoff yet.
Well, the argument to that is Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State's lost to Michigan 3 or 4 years in a row, but they did last year, and they said, yeah, it doesn't matter, and they went on and won a national title.
I mean, do I want to hang a banner in my arena or, you know, have a banner in my stadium that says 2024 national champions or, you know, 2024 winner of the big game between Ohio State and Michigan? I mean, it's a no-brainer. And that's the argument, remember, that Alabama fans clung to in 2017 when Auburn beat them and Georgia, and then because of Kerryon having a shoulder problem, it was hard to win that game in the SEC championship game. Auburn beat Alabama. The only time they played that year was the Iron Bowl winner, and all the Alabama fans said, so what? We're the national champion. And I subscribe to that theory and always will. I get the Iron Bowl's big. I get beating Bama's big. But if you've got a choice to win an Iron Bowl or win a national title or play for a national title, it should be a no-brainer. A no-brainer. You get the last laugh in that scenario, trust me.
I love it. I love it. Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn and the Barn. My friend, we appreciate you as always hopping on the show, talking to us for 30 minutes every single Wednesday. Again, he's on Locked On Auburn a couple of days a week, contributor for the Barn as well. Man, I hope you have a fantastic 4th of July holiday. Enjoy it with family, friends. Stay safe, and we're looking forward to talking to you again next week. Okay, buddy?
Whistle ball out. So, yeah, let's go. Have a happy 4th, everybody. Take
appreciate
care.
It. Thank you so much. Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn in the Barn. He's our man. It is Double D Wednesday. Always love talking with him. I'm not surprised at all, Christian, that he picked 10-2 and make it to the college football playoff, because his reasoning is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
going to the college football playoff right now in the year 2025 is more impactful in a positive way for your program than simply beating Georgia or Alabama, which are still big deals, especially with in-state recruiting and the surrounding state recruiting? Absolutely. But you can't fake making the college football playoff.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a funny thought of, I hope that that's still the mindset on the athletic side of things as well. You feel like if the bowl game mindset of, well, let's just do what we can, then you feel like that opens up a totally different conversation.
Yeah, but like he said, I mean, in that scenario, you're 10-1 going into the Iron Bowl.
Right.
Which means Auburn's going to give it everything they've got because you're going for an 11th win now. Then you start talking conversations of, well, do we give it all here knowing we have Atlanta next week, or is there an Atlanta? You know what I'm saying? Like, all there's so many possibilities there. But Auburn walking in there 10-1 in your home stadium, here comes Alabama, who, heck, their season could be on the line if it's like last year and they're coming down the home stretch where the playoffs are up for grabs for them. Auburn can not only secure possibly a top four seed, but you could also end Alabama's season, or even if you are 9-2 going into that game, you're playing to host a playoff game at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Winner of the Iron Bowl hosts the first round of the college football playoff in their home stadium.
Or weirdly enough, the loser could, while the winner goes to the SEC championship and has to play another game.
Or the winner gets the bye, the loser gets the home playoff game, which that argument comes back around. Of
what a great problem that would be.
No doubt about it.
I wasn't asking that question as I stand on the other side of the fence. It was just...
I just think
the way that Auburn has had such a lack of success as of late, you feel like right now we beat Alabama is the greatest thing on the face of the planet right now.
But I'm with Daryl.
I am as well.
You tell me Auburn goes to the playoff, but we lose to those two, who cares? Because then you have a chance. Like you said, there's a good chance you play one of them again.
Yeah. Means you did something... Means you answered one of the three really big time questions. Didn't beat Georgia or Alabama, but you won on the road and you beat the teams that you should have beaten.
And if you do that, this is what I said yesterday. If you do that, you're probably in the Georgia and Alabama games and they just beat you at the end. And that shows you that you are where you need to be as a program, that you are right there behind the two best teams in the SEC.
And something like that happens, you then see what Alabama has done right now in those 11 days, where you make that crazy jump and all of a sudden late November hits. Where is Auburn? I know they were 89th to begin the season. Oh, fourth?
Oh, there they are. Just like that. It really can flip on its head just like that. Okay, we got to get to our final break. We'll come back and wrap it all up here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Daryl Dappridge, Double D, for joining us as he does every single Wednesday. Thank you to you for tuning in all show long. And if you missed any of the show, you can go and catch it with the podcast version on our station website at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. We got about a minute. And just a reminder, no show tomorrow or Friday. None of our local shows, the Max Roundtable, On the Line, and The Drive. All three local shows are off for the 4th of July holiday. No shows on the 3rd, no shows on the 4th. Everybody is back on Monday, July 7th, okay? So we're all back on Monday, so we're off tomorrow, off on Friday. But don't worry, we have a doubleheader of Major League Baseball on Friday on the 4th of July, and then a game on Saturday as well, including the Subway Series between the Yankees and the Mets. We'll have that for you Friday and Saturday, so looking forward to a couple of days off and joining you back here on Monday.
Yeah, and as we head out and give the peace signs for this wonderful 4th of July holiday, some news has been broken, and why don't you go ahead and give the folks the good news as the music's playing out.
The LSU news?
Yeah.
Money's being brought in, things are being sold, and colleges are realizing, oh crap, we have to pay college athletes, what can we do? They're going to start selling jersey patches, so get ready for that. People complained about it happening in the NBA. Well, go ahead. They're going to complain about it happening in college football, too. So more on that on Monday. But, hey, have a safe and happy 4th of July holiday. We are back on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.